good evening. You're in tune to the Meeting of the Inner Circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, we welcome you and pray that you find the inspiration to meet me here every Thursday night. For those of you who are tuning via the World Wide Web, thank you so much for caring to be with me right here than any other place on the planet. And for those of you who are the Inner Circle, the ones who make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed time, I am so grateful, so prayerful that you are always inspired to greater depths and greater heights of your care, to walk in the light of the truth of the one that you truly are as living, loving, intelligent, potent, immortal point of the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is our absolute truth. And it's a shame and a sin that we were never really supported in having the aspiration for being in the truth of ourselves. Walking in the integrity of our own unique divinity is what we're here to do. And there is no doing that is greater than vivid self-expression and self-representation as these points of the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is all there is. There is no political consciousness that is greater than that. And to be politically unconscious to the degree to which you do not understand that we are being warred against, and the politics and the politics and the government and the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration, United States Department of Agriculture, the pharmaceuticals, the American Medical Association, the psychiatrists, everybody is participating with it. It makes you wonder if these people had any clue as to what they were being educated to do. But as we are in this now moment, it is evident that our education has provided us all of what is required for us to participate as the profiteers behind the cellular oppression, the poisoning of the bloodstream, that which marginalizes us, anesthetizes, inebriates, intoxicates, and put us in a place where it becomes harder than all get out to walk in the divinity of the truth of ourselves as these points of the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence that we refer to as God. In this now moment, I am unapologetic in reminding us of the divinity, the sanctity, the sacredness of being. I am unapologetic in bringing forward to the airwaves and everywhere that I am the reminder that we are here on divine mission to literally represent our lineages in the establishment of this eternal order. I am unapologetic in reminding us that we have duty, obligation, and responsibility in the exaltation of life, which is what all other intelligences do. I am unapologetic in reminding us that we can no longer support the violation, the subjugation, the domination, the poisoning of other creatures and feed off their body parts and be all right, their body fluids, their progeny. I am the one to remind us that we are in so amazing a reality that is eternity. We are on a planet that is literally paradise, spinning in eternity. We are living in a rainbow. We are immersed in nothing but the oceans of consciousness, and the waters can rain upon us, and the sun is shining throughout, and we are all so perfectly and divinely designed, but we have been taught to deny perfection. And I'm saying perfection is an inherent part of our being. It's an inherent part of existence. Justice is an inherent part of existence. It does not depend upon a jury of peers to make a decision based upon the lack or whatever evidence they may have. I'm just saying is that what is showing up in our lives, what is showing up in our bodies, what is showing up as sickness, illness, and disease is the element of justice. What is showing up in the mental disconnect in our being, in the reality of the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence, and being sons and daughters of eternity, but then being under a program of death. And so, yes, it's time. I don't have the time to be soft shoeing around the issues of our liberation. I don't have the time to be in a place and space where I feel like when I come to these airwaves, I got anything else to talk about. There is nothing else for me to discuss. Because when you think about the trillions of animals that are being killed and for food, and then we are not getting a proper understanding as to the amount of people that are dying as a result of having those trillions of carcasses rotting in their bodies. And so for those who are for animal rights, I applaud them. For those who are trying to free them and create sanctuaries for them, I applaud them. But the issues I'm concerned about is that we have not understood that there is purpose in being, and everything has its purpose. And as we have become genetically modified people, that we still are intelligences of existence. And as intelligence, we should be exalting a full effort in our appreciation, gratitude, thanksgiving for the gift and the blessedness of being, because there is no greater blessing, there is no greater wealth, there is no greater richness than being in the integrity of the awesomeness of your own ability to be perfect vehicle and vessel of the Creator's love, light, wisdom, truth, peace, poise, power, and potency, and to be able to invoke and activate your DNA that already has the gift from your lineages. I'm so grateful for those of you who tune in. I'm so grateful for those of you who keep me in your ear. I'm so grateful for those of you who are taking what I am speaking to and then making adjustments in your life so that you are literally consciously caring to be liberated at the cellular level, no longer being host for all of the organisms, the parasites, the bacteria, the viruses, and whatnot that are creating all manners of issues in the poisoning of the blood, usurping your life force. I'm grateful for those of you who are inspired to start your day with greater oxygenation and hydration and opening up the channels of your elimination. I am so grateful that you care to be in the greater degrees of who you are. I am grateful that you really care to hear and that you will apply it, that you're not just listening, because I am not here to entertain you. This is not about me having just giving you a good word. This is about me reminding you that we have been called and we have been chosen, and now we're having the opportunity to choose to be in the alignment, in the integrity of who we are, whose we are, on behalf of those through whom we've come, and on behalf of all of those whose blood has been spilled and who's crying out from this planet. And for whatever other ones are talking about, all of the things they are talking about, you can have the money, you can have the good business, you can be making the six figures as a life coach, you can do all of what they're trying to get you to do, but the issue is, can you get out of this situation alive? How is it they've made living, exalting a full effort in living, about money, about acquiring, about making money by any means necessary, even if it's at the detriment of the children, of families, of the integrity of what it is to be men, the progenitor of lineages, and what it is to be wombed men, the perpetuator of lineages. We are here on behalf of life itself, so there should be no business authorized to be producing, manufacturing, distributing, advertising that which has absolutely no substance to be consumed, particularly by children. It's necessary for us to really have the real understanding and understanding that the system is antichrist. It's not a personage per se. It's the system that ensures that you have access to that which poisons your bloodstream, undermines your capacity to think creatively, denies you the training and education for self-unfoldment and self-realization, which is the evidence of being rightly aligned as men and women, to ensure that those ones that you have charge of, that you are giving them what is necessary in order to ensure their progression, in order to ensure their betterment, in order to ensure that they walk in the integrity of the gifts that they've been given. But that's not what we have here. But that's what we can create for those of us who choose, for those of us who care, for those of us who care to be aligned and remember the divinity, the sanctity, and the sacredness of what it is to be And to realize that divinity in expression, divinity personified, is the essence in life of who and what we really are. Beyond hue, beyond sex, nation, gender, preference, ethnicity, religion, everybody is here to exalt and be the progression of the lineages. And our education should have given us the tools for this. Our religious training should have prepared us for understanding the divinity of what it is to be an intelligence, what it is to be a spirit, what it is to be able to focus and to be liberated so that we're not enslaved to our sinfulness, our dissipation of life force through whatever means. Not to make it trillion dollar business in pornography, in alcoholism, in sex trafficking, and pedophilia, and all of the things that is the base, just the base nature of humanity that has poisoned blood. There is nothing natural about being in a space and place mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or physically where you don't care to walk in the truth of yourself, where you don't care to be highly ethical. You don't care to be in a place and space where you are literally reaching for that which facilitates optimum cellular functioning, as opposed to reaching for that which poisons and toxifies your body, your blood, your chemistry, and puts you on a DNA lockdown so that you're not able to really invoke the greatness of the truth of yourself, that you are in denial of the perfection of your being. You're not reaching for that which ensures that your cells are able to consistently regenerate, rejuvenate, revitalize, vivify so that you can be whole, so that you can be healed, that you would rather reach for that which has no substance. You would rather reach for that which is chemical. You would rather reach for poison and then continue to do the things that undermine the integrity of your perfect and divine functioning. But that is the evidence of the impact and the effect of the concentration, the saturation, and the contraindication of behavior-modifying chemicals that have been disguised as flavor enhancers and shelf stabilizers and all manners of pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics, nitrates, nitrites, BHA, BHT, all of these preservatives and things. So we are so pleased for those who have sown the seeds for urban community gardening, for those who are taking responsibility to compost, those who are taking responsibility to recycle, those who are taking responsibility to manage the waste, those who are taking responsibility to get waste out of the system on a daily basis, those who are realizing that your greatest degree of wealth and prosperity is when you regain your footing upon the path of everlasting life. Your greatest wealth and riches is going to come when you are in the integrity of the one that you are as a son and daughter of eternity. Your greatest wealth is going to come from your maturation in love and your self-mastery so that you are not a detriment to anything or anybody at any time for any reason. Your greatest wealth and richness is going to come because you have taken the time to be completely cleared and cleansed and purified, renewed, rebirthed, regenerated, rejuvenated, revitalized, and to walk in the integrity of who and whose you are to the glory and in honor of the lineages through whom you've come. Our greatest wealth and our greatest richness is when we are really taking responsibility to be the evidence of the kingdoms and queendoms of God rising upon the planet. Our greatest wealth and responsibility is when we're tapped in, tuned into our own creativity and to be vessels of the Creator's activity so that we leave everything and everybody better than we found them. Our greatest degree of wealth is going to be when we stop investing in undermining ourselves. Our greatest degree of our wealth is going to come when we care to walk in the salvation, the deliverance, and the liberation, and the harmonization of who and whose we are as these points of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is all there is as existence itself. Our greatest degree of true wealth and richness is going to come when daily we're able to release and let go of whatever resentments and anger and frustration and misunderstandings and all of that, so that we can continue to love each other, that we can continue to forgive each other, that we can continue to be about our healing, to be about our wholeness, because what we know is that you have so much support out here in killing yourself. You got so much support in undermining yourself. You got so much support that even those the ones who say they love you will light that crack pipe for you, will light that and make sure you got your cigarettes, your Black and Milds, your reefer, your alcohol and this and that. And I'm saying that ain't love. It is really not love. But to have people who work every day in manufacturing and distributing these products thinking that it's just about making a dollar. Nobody is here to make a dollar. Everybody is here to walk as the truth of the personification of the wealth of God, to be in the richness and the fluidity of that which is always available to us, living in the realm of eternity and the infinity of possibilities. And so, yes, I care to remind you that you were given the power of your thought. You were given the power of your word. You were given the body that is the vehicle and vessel and temple of God. And to be cleared and cleansed and purified so that we regain seating on the throne as heirs to the queendoms and kingdoms of God in these temples. This is what our liberation looks like. It's the consciousness that we walk as. It's how we carry ourselves. It's how we think. It's what we're about when nobody's looking. It's our care to be consistent, held in the ever-embracing arms of our absolute and supreme intellect, to be fully activated, charged, to come to a point and place where as we're maturing, we're blossoming. As we're maturing, we're becoming more and more beautiful. As we're maturing, we're walking in the wealth of the truth of ourselves. There is nothing that we cannot do because now we're mature enough to have mastered ourselves to the degree to which we do nothing to undermine ourselves. And we have been consistent over time in purifying these vessels and coming to a point and place where we know that we were not born to live, enslave, and die. We were not born to be commodity under a system of oppression. We were not born to make other people rich as a result of our dissipation of our life force and our life currency. We were not here to just work every day for a freaking dollar while you have no capacity for really honoring and nourishing the ones who have come through you. There is sacrifices that were made for us. And now we're having to make sacred our lives because that is who and what we must do to reclaim our birthright, to be rightly aligned with the fullness of the divine supply of every freaking thing that we could possibly imagine. And when we are seeing the progression of the technology, we also see the progression of error. We also see the progression of wickedness where people are just wanting to do whatever without having any real understanding of what purpose in being actually is. And so I am the I am that we each are. We can say it for ourselves. I am that I am. The I am presence that is the presence that each of us is in full possession of has its own inherent integrity, that it does nothing to undermine itself. It is supreme intelligence embodied. And what puts us in a place where we are out of alignment with the divinity, the sanctity, and the sacredness is the defilement of the blood. And this is what your ministers are not talking to you about. The churches have not advocated for a boycott of the death industries. And your educational systems are still serving death to your children, still having Coca-Cola and all of these other ones that usurp their life force and put them in a place where they cannot be still. And then those ones who are taking responsibility as educators are not educating because they do not know how to bring the best of these children forward, and they support the poisoning of the children. And this is why we have to be mindful of the karmic debt, that which is justice, as a result of being in a place where we have been so far out of alignment with who and whose we are, with the purpose in being, with that which is duty, obligation, and responsibility as men, the progenitor of lineages, wombed men, the perpetuator of lineages, and to know that we should not be a detriment to our children. And for all of those ones who have become corporations of sickness, illness, disease, and death in boxes and breakfast cereals and colored drinks and all of the things that we see everywhere in every store. I'm like, well, how are they making millions and millions of these things? You know, but the reality for us is really we don't have to have any of it. That means that in order for us to really anchor the queendoms and kingdoms of God, those ones who work for these people would have to come into a greater thought. Because working a job does not ensure your progression. It does not ensure your prosperity, particularly when you're working for the alcohol, tobacco, sugar, dairy, meat, and chicken industries. Particularly when you are the hand that is killing these creatures. Particularly when you are having your business and getting business licensing, and this is an issue, business licensing for alcohol and tobacco and vaping and all of the things that literally undermine the wealth of the people. And then we see it. We see these ones in the streets, on their blankets, on the concrete, sleep in the middle of the day. We see these ones who have been robbed of the integrity of the divinity and the truth of themselves. We see this, and then we've got this multi-million dollar pot of lottery that is not going to facilitate anything for anybody except for those who can win it. And then they don't have the mentality to be able to do anything that ensures their greater prosperity. What would you do with $1 million? What would you do with $10 million? What would you do with $30 million other than next to pay your taxes, pay the government, and then take what you have, and then you buy your mama a house and buy this one a house and do this and do that, and after a while you ain't got no money because you done spent it all in materiality. You drank it, you smoked it, you partied, you played, you traveled, you had nice things, and you didn't do anything to ensure your continued wealth, because you never knew what wealth really is. You thought it was having money. Those of us who aspire towards real wealth and richness are the ones who aspire towards being in the integrity of the truth of who we are as divinity personified. Those ones of us who will really be the embodiment of wealth and riches are those who are remembering our birthright, those who will take the time to clear, cleanse, purify, renew, rebirth, regenerate, rejuvenate, revitalize, revivify, to get centered, to be still and know that I am the I am that you are is God. To come to a point and place where we are not looking outside of ourselves, we're not knocking and asking and begging, but we are standing, walking, living in the rhythm of the wealth and the truth and the light of the integrity and the high ethic and the morality and the sensibility and the divinity and the sanctity and the sacredness of who and whose we are. Cleared, cleansed, purified, edified, consecrated, so that we are tapped in, tuned in to the exalted realms. We keep counsel with exalted ones. We are being shaped by hands of angels of light. We are intensely intentional in expressing and realizing our gratitude and our thanksgiving for the blessing of each and every breath and every beat of our heart, because there is nothing that anybody can give us that is greater than that, greater than what we already have. And so for whoever your employers are, for whoever your sugar daddies, your sugar mamas, and all of those ones who give you what they can get because of what they get and they're giving, they don't beat your heart and they don't breathe you. The husband, the wife, the lover, the mistress, they don't beat your heart, they don't breathe you. The children, they don't beat your heart, they don't breathe you. The grandchildren, they don't beat your heart, they don't breathe you. Our first love has to be with that which beats our heart and breathes us. This is how we come into love. This is how we really secure in the new marriages. This is how we are able to respond correctly and directly to what is needed in our now moment, and that is our wholeness. that is our reconciliation, our reorientation, our reclamation, our remembrance, and our full participation in the establishment of this eternal order, the eternal government, and to be fully participatory as the queendoms and kingdoms of God emerging. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle with Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama. And so I want to really remind us that in light of and despite there being an agenda to have us in violation of the law of love, love is always going to win. And so if you want to win, then you have to know love. If you care to be successful, you have to know love. If you care to be free, you have to know love. If you care to be rich, you have to know love. Because all these ones who got the money and they don't have a bit of sense to understand that love wins. All of these ones who got all this money and appropriating and misappropriating all the funds and the life currencies of all of these ones in the warring and all of that, love is going to win. There's no way that you can win in war. The fact that you're warring is the evidence of your failure. And so where we care to be whole and we care to be healed, then you still have to know love. There really is no condition or circumstance where you are not to be held accountable and responsible for understanding the law, and that the love is foundational. And it's not just the romantic love and the sensuality love and the lustful love and the lovemaking and the sexing and all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how it is that we be, that we can be trusted. And see, if you don't know love, really, you can't be trusted. If you're not loving you, we can trust that whatever your breach of integrity is, it's going to show up. But if it's at the cellular level, which is why we've been poisoned, so that the breach of integrity is in the blood. Because your blood is supposed to be a certain kind of way. And when that breach of integrity is there because of the meat, the dairy, the eggs, the chicken, the fish, the flesh, the flour, all of the artificial colors and flavors and whatnot, then you have to have enough love to clean up. You have to have enough love to care to walk in the fullness of yourself. You have to have enough love to trust God and trust Mother and Mother Nature for your healing. You have to remember that love perfectly and divinely designed you. Love is beating your heart and maintaining and sustaining you. Love is blazing that sun and spinning the planet and giving us rain and the wind. Love is everywhere present. We're immersed in it. And that love is the ocean of cosmic consciousness that we have access to. That love is the opportunity to repent and release and let go of that which doesn't serve us. Love is the opportunity to regain our balance when we have fallen down in this pit of self-pity and sorrow and loneliness and aloneness, and where you are doing everything you possibly can to not talk to God, not be in a place and space where you, in your prayers, your praise, your gratitude, you are having a pity party. You ain't loving, you got the love. I'm just saying. And so this is the way of mastery. But love is the harmony of the truth, of the oneness of being. And if you are divided within yourself, that you are not exerting and exalting a full effort to live in the light of your giftedness, your blessedness, you're being highly favored because you're present. And all of those of us who are present, we come from greatness. And the intention of the system is to put us in a place where we become commodity and slave under lust, passion, gluttony, and all of these, that's what they call the seven deadly sins. And so, but we are not here to be sin-filled. We're here to be soulful. We're here to be whole. And the love is a major part of that. Because love is the fulfillment of the law. And where there has been breach of integrity, where so many ones, they have so much information. And their objective in sharing the information is for profit and for money. It's not because of their love. Some people like to be deep and have deep conversations and whatnot and think that the intellect is greater than their love and their loving. And I'm saying that the harmony of the truth is love. The truth of our being, these points of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. Love is our answering the call to our rising. Love is our caring to be cleared and cleansed and purified. Love is so that we are truly caring to honor and glorify our lineages, whether we get along with them or not. You understand? You don't have to see them. I was in the bath today and I was thinking about being a little girl in the tub and I'd be in the bathtub and I would say, somebody, somebody, I didn't care who came. It could be my daddy, my mama, or my sister to come and scrub my back for me. I was thinking about that. I'd be like, somebody. Somebody. And so, yeah. And so anyway, I didn't have nobody to call to come scrub my back. And those ones that I was calling to scrub my back are now all past. And so the reality for us is realizing that we have these moments that we were loved and we were supported by family and those ones who are close to us. And they all come to pass. And there are many of you who have seen so many pass. And the holidays or the hella days come and you remember those times and we become more self-indulgent and sometimes because we're in the loneliness and aloneness. And I'm saying, give thanks that you have the opportunity to do what other ones didn't know to do. And as a child, I was trying to get my mom and them to do the right thing. And my daddy would be like, you looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. The world is not like that. And I'm like 9 years old. And I'm like, it should be. Well, it should be. And so I'm the should-be baby. Trying to get us to understand how it's supposed to be. It ain't supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like God intended for it to be, where we're all in the love of living in the presence and living as children of God, living in godliness, living in right alignment, living in our righteousness, living in our wholeness, living in our healing, living in our creativity and being clearer, cleaner vehicles and vessels for the love of God, the light of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the poise of God, the power of God. I knew this as a child. And so as a woman, and as one of the most powerful sisters on the face of this earth, I am here to remind you what it's supposed to be. and how you're supposed to be participating with it. And for those of you who say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm saying you're supposed to be loving God with your whole body, heart, mind, with all of your might. That's what you're supposed to be doing. All right. You're supposed to be honoring the lineages through whom you've come, loving your parents, whether they're here, there, everywhere, wherever they are, within the spirit worlds. If you've never seen them, they're in your DNA. Okay, I'm just saying. We're supposed to be respecting other ones to have the right to their lives and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. So you're supposed to be loving yourself. You understand? You're not supposed to be killing yourself. Can you love and kill yourself at the same time? Yeah, people sing that all the time. I love myself. What you talking about? I love myself. I'm like, really? You loving yourselves? Yourself is charged upon yourselves. If you're poisoning yourselves, then you are in delusion to think that you're really loving yourself. Because loving means to nurture and nourish and strengthen and facilitate and whatnot. Love is bringing forward and acknowledging the presence, the intelligence, the gift of, and the blessedness in being. You understand? See, there's a truth as to what love is. Love is not this emotional thing where we in and out and up and down and off and on and this and that. I'm saying, no, love is consistent. Love is unconditional. In truth, it's unconditional. You know, and we might go through our little things where we'd be like pouting. You remember when you was a child, you'd be sticking your, my mama used to say, I could ride to Mississippi on that bottom lip. just a pouting, y'all pouting out here because you ain't loving. He ain't doing it. She ain't doing it the way you want it to be done. I'm just saying, y'all got to start with self, with where you are. It said, home is where the heart is, and the heart is the altar of that temple that you have been blessed with. That is your body. And that temple needs to be cleansed. It needs to be spotless. It needs to be in the place and space where the presence of God will dwell there. And that's our liberation and our love. I'll be forward in just a bit. And so many ones want to be happy. But happiness comes as a result of you being in the light of yourself. And I want to add to that with my programming. People be like, everybody ain't ready for the truth, Adama, but that does not mean that I'm not supposed to give it because that's all I'm about. That's my response to being influenced in a system of dogma, doctrine, miseducation, death culture. And we were told to know the truth and the truth would make you free. There's no joy and happiness in being enslaved. And so our knowing that when the shackles were taken off our necks and our hands and our feet, that they were put on our minds, and now the spirit is bound. And the religion has done that. And the miseducational system has done that to bind you to the degree to which you are not free. You're not happy. You're not in the celebration of your life. Life has become arduous. It's become hard. It's become, you know, something that a lot of people are trying to opt out of because they do not know how to live it. And we're in this diet that we've been given. So that the happiness comes when you apply yourself towards your wholeness. The happiness comes when you are consistently making choices and decisions that help to shape you and mold you and honor, allow you to honor the gift that you are of God. And those ones who have dissipated themselves to the degree to which they are full of anger and resentment and pain and frustration and disdain, and the opportunity to be freed from that is here. And everybody's not reaching for it. And if you want to make a difference in the lives of those that you love, then you have to reach for it. We cannot do what our parents have done and be all right. We cannot live the way that we've been shown and think that it's sufficient. It is not sufficient
to just be working every day for money and paying bills and then dissipating your life force in alcoholism and going out and partying and all of that. He's like, yeah, you can live it, you know, but you're going to die it. You understand? The way of life, that is the way of death. That is what we've been socialized to deal with. And because death has been so widely accepted as the natural finality, destiny, fate of what it is to have lived here. And so when people hear me say, we should not be dying, they're asking me to, what do I mean? Because they have been taught that everybody dies. So we've not really been supported in understanding what death actually is. Because there's a death that is the reality of never having lived, never having loved, never having fulfilled any of what the responsibility of developing self, mastering self, loving self, honoring your lineages. I'm just saying is that we were given certain things. Our religious training gave us the keys, certain keys, but they did not talk to us about how the food is a weapon of our oppression. We were oriented towards having an understanding that there was something called Satan and Lucifer and the devil, but we weren't giving any understanding as to who and what that is in daily life. And so some of the ones from centuries ago looked at women being able to facilitate healing, you know, with rituals, with herbs and the phases of the moon and whatnot. And, you know, ones and ones who understood how one's intent becomes manifested. The workers of magic, and women were hung and beaten and burned because of this male patriarchal domination type of dogmatic frequency that came with religion. And so religion has proven itself to be binding. It has not proven itself to be liberating. And so we are having to harmonize ourselves with the religions of the trees and the birds and the butterflies and the flowers and all of that. Their religion is life. Their religion is vivid self-expression, purpose in being. And we have that. And it has nothing to do with our socialization. It has everything to do with what the beauty in just being, in the integrity of who and whose we are, and what we come into in terms of the capacity for true maturation, blossoming. Because the core of us is divinity personified. And so maturing means that you are just unfolding in the divinity and the truth of yourself. But you become more. You become all of that that God is as you. And it's so difficult for people to think about it. And then you got other ones who talking and talking, peace, God, all of that. And I'm like, God don't work for Coca-Cola here. When you stepping into your God self, you are literally aligning yourself with the exaltation of life and the trust and the faith of activating your own gifts, talents, skills, and abilities to be a blessing and showing up. We are not just working on behalf of the corporate deities of death and thinking that going to church, and this is how they teach us, you know, you pray and pray and pray and ask for the job. You get a job working for the devil, Satan, and Lucifer, the government that is ill. I won't say all factions of the government does not have our best interests at heart, but the government is co-conspiring with our oppression. And so they get paid well for their jobs with the church, with the government, and with the corporate deities of death. And then they get these license plates on their nice cars that say Jesus saves. Jesus ain't saving all these animals that's getting killed and rotting in your stomachs. We're having to really understand the path of Jesus, the path of Christ. And we have to create the blood of Christ in order to know the salvation. We cannot be in salvation just by virtue of what we're saying and not being integrous with how we're feeding. We have to respect the optimum or what is required for optimum cellular functioning. We have to respect that the body is perfectly and divinely designed, and we're not designed to eat 90% of what is available to us in these stores. Now, we can chew it like we chew cardboard and plastic, and, you know, people had all kinds of little things that they did as children. And just because we could chew it doesn't mean it's doing anything for us. It takes 72 hours to get one serving of flesh through the system, if it can get through the system. So that means if you wake up in the morning and you have bacon and eggs and grits, cheese grits, cheese toast, whatever, that stuff is going to sit in your gut for a minute. 72 hours just for the flesh. All right, that means if you have meat three times a day, it's going to take you 9 days to process one day meal if you're on the standard American diet. And this is why there's so much obesity, because the body is just retaining the waste that's being created. And understanding and respecting that our bodies are perfectly and divinely designed, and that we are in truth breatharian, that breath is the animating, maintaining, sustaining force of our lives, and that our bodies, as is consistent with the earth, should be 80% water, which is our bloodstream, our lymph system, our intracellular fluids and whatnot, and should be highly charged. And the charge is coming from the electric energy and the ions from your minerals, your calcium, your iron, your phosphorus, your silica, your manganese, and all of the phytonutrients and whatnot that are coming from our herbs. And then the body has to be hydrated with the waters that's coming from not just the teas, but your fresh fruit, fresh juicy fruit, and your vegetation. And anything other than that is going to create so much acidity in the body. And that acid, over the buildup of 365 days of meat, that means it's going to take you three times that. So that's over 1,000 and some odd days. Take you 3 years to get 1 year of flesh out your body, and then you keep piling it on. You'll never get it out. And this is where the 200 pounds and 250 pounds and 300 pounds and 340 pounds and 400 pounds and all of this, because now the body is just full of waste. It doesn't even have to be an extreme amount of waste before you begin to create issues, where they want to take your tonsils and they want to take your adenoids and they want to take your thyroid and they want to take your gallbladder, and then they're going to take your appendix, and then they're going to, you know, take your organs and your glands. I think you need your organs and your glands. Nah, sister, we don't need it. We could be without it. It's okay. And I'm saying, yeah, they could take whatever, but that don't make you whole, and it doesn't make you healed. Because the only reason those things are needing to be taken, they don't really need to be taken. You need to be cleansed. But the cleansing is happening daily. And if I could get you all to really understand and respect that you can reverse any issue when you take responsibility for cleansing, not just changing the diet, but really cleansing from the years of accumulation, concentration, saturation, and contraindication of all of the waste, the chemicals, the metals, the pesticides, the herbicides, the antibiotics, the nitrates, the nitrites, the synthetics that were in the breakfast cereals, and all of this. And I'm just saying, this should be illegal. And these people should know by now, with all of the sickness, illness, and disease, with all of the hospitals, with all of the hospices, with all of the nursing homes and rehabilitations, they know that this is not good. They know that it's killing you. So what you gonna do? How you gonna be? Our right response is to do nothing to undermine ourselves. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama. The right response is to care more. The right response is to release. The right response is to no longer support that which is undermining you. The right response is to knock, seek, ask, and pray for the strength to claim it, to declare it. I am strong this day. I'm stronger this day than I have been ever before. I put away that which is not good for me. I release and let go of all of the habits. I do not have to smoke. I'm strong enough. My mind is strong enough. The God in me. You understand? Y'all got to go through some deep declarations, decreeing, affirming, so that you can get over your habits. When I attended my mother's divinity graduation from Unity School of Christianity in, I guess that was like 1979, 1980, and New Thought Christianity, or Unity School of Christianity, they didn't have many African Americans in it. So this was the largest class of African Americans or Black Americans that they had gone through. And it was only maybe 14 coming out of Detroit. And so after the graduation, and they turned their tassels, then the cork started flying from the champagne and the wine, and then the meat started getting carved, and then the cigarettes started lighting up. And I said to my mother, I said, Mama, these people did not give you any support for getting over your vices. Now, these are ones who are gone through the curriculum of learning the Bible and the scriptures and the interpretations of them so that they could share and help people with their salvation, right? And I'm saying, Mama, these people did not give you any support for getting over your vices, which means that when you get into church and you get your church, you're going to be in the pulpit talking about the way of the blood of Christ and salvation and all of this. And then you come out of church and you're going to light your cigarettes and you're going to eat your meat and you're going to drink your alcohol. And she tells me, she says, well, it's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you. It's what you allow to come from you. And I say, Mama, these people gave you no support in getting over your vices. And there's this book, and you may have heard me say this. It's called The United States and the Jews. It's a very small book that was on my husband's bookshelf. And I just opened it up, and I opened it up to a passage where it says, we must sow the people in vice so that they are no longer in touch with their spiritual help. So that's what the vices do. It gives us a disconnect from our direct line of light with our angels, our guides, our guardians, and our ancients. And these ones who have so much toxicity feel as though they're really making contact. And I'm saying, I don't know that that's the case. Because if you were praying and knocking and asking and all of that, why would they not encourage you to give up killing yourself? One of the elder brothers, he would say, yeah, I go to the wall every day and I be praying to the Lord and I be praying to the Lord. I said, why didn't the Lord tell you to stop eating flesh in any of it? And so I'm encouraging us to come to a point where we realize the power of our collective commitment to being these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of the presence of God. You've been in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. Have a good night. I love you.